The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
And our guest today on the program is Jennifer Kubatsky. I got that correct?
You did.
Okay, she's a registered nurse from Huron Medical Center, and it's part of Parenting Awareness Month. She is going to be talking about the move back to breastfeeding for moms and their infants.
Yes.
So thanks for being with us today. And again, the cycle, the pendulum is swinging the other way again now, eh?
Yes, it is. Thank you for having me.
Basically, this is something that's been natural since day one. In about the 1950s, we thought we knew better and kind of went to formula only right afterwards. And then all of a sudden we found out, hey, it wasn't quite as good as we thought it was going to be.
Correct. Yes, the benefits of breastfeeding have been studied more in depth now, and the American Academy of Pediatrics has some recommendations for breastfeeding, and they are that they would like mothers to exclusively breastfeed. That means they only breastfeed their infants breast milk. They don't give any formula or anything else for the first 6 months of their life. And then from 6 months to 12 months, they continue with breastfeeding with the addition of complementary foods. And these recommendations are based off of studies showing the benefits to both mom and baby. And those benefits are health benefits, their psychological benefits. So breastfeeding is the best food for the baby.
And basically, we've kind of got to wrap our minds around in America that we're doing this again, because I've heard stories on the wire service and stuff, you know, where people are freaked out or whatever, and it's like it is a natural thing. But again, it's a two-way street, and there are some, you know, basic courtesy rules type of things that need to be adhered to as well.
Yes. I think that we need to embrace breastfeeding again. We have to look at it as more of a natural thing. We need to teach our young ones, our children, that it is natural, that all mammals feed their babies milk, and milk comes from the bosom. And we need to just embrace that breastfeeding is the natural and the perfect way to breastfeed the baby.
I think the problems generally come out when it's done in public, and you know, restaurants and such, and people are we tend to get uptight and we clench up, and then we're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And it is really natural, but then again, if you're paying $50 for a dinner, you kind of want it to be relaxing
right,
for you too.
Right. So. And moms can be discreet about breastfeeding. In the beginning, when they're learning, they might have a little bit of positioning problems. But once you continue with breastfeeding, you get better and you can hide it a little bit better. But like I said, as a society, we need to realize that it is the normal way, and we need to commend these mothers for providing the best, most nutritious food for their babies. And instead of maybe trying, you know, getting uptight or uncomfortable, maybe we should go right up to them and say, great job, you're doing a great job, you're doing the best thing for you and your baby.
I was born in the 50s. I always thought we should be called the uptight generation. So it's been found though that breast milk is the best nutritional source. We've tried to replicate it through formulas and other types of things, but close but no cigar type of thing.
You're so right, Craig. Breast milk is the perfect food for your baby. There is no comparison, and all of the medical communities are in agreement with that, breast milk is the best for the baby. It has immunological properties to help babies be more healthy.
That's kind of common in mammals anyway, is that the first feedings transfer some immunity factors and other kind of jumpstart the kid's immune system, which has been kind of separated through the gestation period when the mother and baby are physically connected.
Yeah, you've probably heard then, obviously, that babies who breastfeed are more healthy. And the reason being is because there is a phenomenon called, well, I shouldn't say a phenomenon, but there is a thing called passive immunity. And for example, to explain passive immunity, a mom goes out into the public and say we're in the midst of the flu season. Her body comes in contact with the flu bug. Immediately, her body starts making antibodies to fight this infection. Antibodies are in the blood and they start fighting off infection. So whether she becomes sick or whether she is healthy enough at that point in her life to fight off the infection, she still makes the antibodies. These antibodies are transferred through her milk and her baby ingests them, and so the baby gets the antibodies, and now the baby has that extra support to either A, fight off the infection completely, or have a less bout with the infection.
Kind of like the flu shot.
Exactly, kind of along the same lines.
And when the child is in the womb, there are barriers between the mother and child to protect the fetus so that there is no transference of anything that's going to harm the fetus. And this type of immunity may not pass through at that time. It comes afterwards. Mm-hmm. Okay. Shaking your head up and down doesn't work on radio. So just say, okay. So these types of, this is one of the factors, but there's also an emotional factor. I mean, the holding, the closeness, the warmth, all of this also ties into the child's emotional well-being, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
The mother-child bond is well,
right,
like ironclad.
Exactly. An infant does have psychological benefits. They're showing that infants become more prosperous adults, more social adults, when they have this one-to-one close contact with an adult, it being their mother through the breastfeeding experience. But breastfeeding mothers as well, when they put their baby to breast, they have hormones that are stimulated in their body, prolactin and oxytocin. And prolactin is allows a mom to experience a calmness, a more well-being with her child, and even promotes mothering behaviors.
So it's a nurturing factor.
It is, and it's a very interesting.
It's kind of the way when we see a child's face, we're automatically going to awe because of the way mm-hmm. the eyes are bigger and
sure.
the head is round and all the things that we're just kind of genetically programmed to gravitate to and want to nurture and
exactly.
make them better.
Exactly. A baby comes out, is thrust out into the big old world.
Yeah, I wouldn't use that term, but okay.
that closeness to the mother, the eye contact. Sure, it's all a connection.
Does the close physicalness sometimes even allow them maybe to hear a familiar heartbeat, things that are the breathing that maybe is so familiar from all those months growing up inside?
Sure, it is. It's a comforting feeling, definitely.
That you don't get from a plastic bottle.
Right.
And I've never heard of the nurturing process having chemicals in the feeding formula, or the certain plastics that are bad, all that kind of stuff that we're all worried about now too. So all of that's out the window. You don't have to worry about that.
Right.
But not every woman can go a year out mm-hmm. of work, out of... Mm-hmm. But there are other ways that women can still use breast milk, even if they physically can't be there.
Sure. A lot of moms are in the working field nowadays.
Sometimes it takes two incomes just to make a family fly.
Definitely. And, you know, moms need to be educated. They need to have the resources. They need to be able to have pumps available to them. Moms certainly can make breastfeeding work. Even though the baby isn't breastfeeding from the breast, they definitely can pump, and the caregiver can give the baby the breast milk. So there are ways for a baby to be exclusively breastfed. It does take a little bit of extra time on the mom and understanding from the work community as well to accommodate this and make this a go.
It would seem like it would also be an opportunity for the child to bond with the father, who obviously can't supply it, but he can do the holding and all the other things that that bring a family together.
Right. That's important, too. Dads do need to have a connection with their babies, and even though it may not be with, obviously, the breastfeeding.
Sorry, kid, that doesn't work.
There are different ways that they can do this. They can play with their babies. They can read to their babies. I mean, research, you know, we think that babies are just these things that, you know, you hold, and but really they can communicate very young. They like to be talked to, they like to be sung to, they like to be read to, and this even stimulates their brain to develop. So there's so many different ways that other family members and the father can bond with their child.
Okay. If someone is planning to breastfeed, as they go, do they need instruction on this? I mean, we kind of sit there and think, well, this is the most natural thing on the planet, but usually, you know, kids don't come with a manual. I'm sure this doesn't either. From the factory, anyway, in your brain.
You're right. There are a few things that moms can do before the baby is born.
And that's important with children, is pre-planning. Because, you know, spur of the moment, then it's frustrating, and then it's, you know, what am I doing? If you've got it clear in your head, that calmness goes on to the child as well, too.
Yes. You need to be prepared when you're going to have children. So just like breastfeeding, moms need to be prepared. They can take a class on breastfeeding. And they can talk with other family members if they had breastfeeding. Try to seek out somebody that you know, a friend or a relative who has breastfed, so they can be your kind of one-on-one support. But certainly area hospitals should have somebody there who either specializes in breastfeeding or can point you in the direction of someone to talk to if you run into problems with breastfeeding. Also, expecting parents should kind of shop for their pediatricians and their obstetricians per se. Make sure that they are breastfeeding friendly and that they support breastfeeding and that they'll be able to recommend you to appropriate sources to continue the journey with breastfeeding.
Are things like the pumps and that, is this stuff usually covered by medical insurance type of things? Because it seems like it would have benefits for the child, they'd have less illnesses and be cheaper down the road. Is this something that generally, you know, just check with your insurance provider, see if all these things are covered? You might be able to save a couple of initial bucks when children come into the later life, all you have are bucks going out.
Yeah. Definitely parents should check to see if their insurance covers breast pumps, because they do sometimes, and sometimes it's only a percentage, but like you said, a percentage can be a lot when you're looking at...
Every little bit helps, and you're paying for it. You might mm-hmm. as well, you know, get the benefits out of it too.
Right.
Okay. It would seem to me if the woman is breastfeeding that she's actually, you know, like they say when she's pregnant, eating for two. Do we need to consider that? You know, a lot of times when women get done with pregnancy, the first thing they're looking to is to get back to their former figure.
Yes. That's one of the benefits of breastfeeding. Breastfeeding does kind of speed up the metabolism. It takes energy to breastfeed. So moms who breastfeed typically do return to their pre-pregnancy weight quicker because of that. So yes, that's one of the benefits for breastfeeding. It can help a mom regain her pre-pregnancy figure back more quickly.
Does she need extra vitamins, other things? Because again, she's not just eating for one. Usually in the pregnancy period, mm-hmm. you're looking to either eat right or supplement a little bit. Is that something that you need to carry on if you are anticipating breastfeeding?
Yes, typically a woman who is going to plan on breastfeeding her infant should talk with her obstetrician first of all, but typically they are recommended to continue with their prenatal vitamins. They should try to eat healthy, avoid processed foods, eat foods in their more raw, purest form, you know, fruits and vegetables that are, you know, bought out of the stand instead of in a can. buy whole turkey and bake the turkey and then shave off the meat and make your sandwich instead of going out and buying a pound of lunch meat. Things like that can benefit the nutritional value of mom's breast milk that she gives to her baby.
When you think of breastfeeding, you think of natural, wholesome, and this brings in the whole holistic type of thing. Do people have to worry that, they go, oh, you should take these types of herbs when you're doing this, and it's like, maybe a little's good and too much isn't, and you need to really check with your doctor to make sure that you're not spoiling milk, so to speak.
Yeah. When people think of breastfeeding, they think of, I have a long laundry list of things that I have to avoid, or this and that.
But there are some things they do need to
avoid. Definitely, there are.
Alcohol, cigarettes.
Definitely.
You don't want them around the kids. Any type of illicit drug, and any drugs you take, maybe you have to check with your doctor to make sure you can breastfeed. Maybe certain blood pressure medicines or something might not be conducive.
Any over-the-counter medication or prescribed medication, mothers should check to make sure it is safe to take while she is breastfeeding. Definitely, alcohol is transmitted through milk. Breast milk.
We've heard of fetal alcohol syndrome. Does mm-hmm. does it also impact post-fetal? I mean, you can have some, if the kid is getting alcohol, I imagine it would damage brain cells just as good as it could in the womb.
Definitely. Just like it does an adult, if they consume too much, it can affect the baby. Now,
but they're just at the point of creating links, and you don't want to disturb that process.
Exactly. So, you want to stay away from alcohol. Now, occasionally, a celebratory drink or, one drink, just let it clear your system first. Usually it takes 2-3 hours before you feed your baby, but...
There are going to be a lot of people asking you to put that in writing for the state papers
to pull them
over, but okay.
you definitely don't want to consume a lot of alcohol when you're breastfeeding because it does go through the breast milk. Now, with smoking, mothers who smoke are not contraindicated to breastfeed their infants. In fact, we encourage even moms who smoke cigarettes to continue or to breastfeed their infants. Ideally, you should quit smoking for the health of yourself and for the health of the baby, but we just have to educate those moms who do smoke, make sure that they smoke their cigarette immediately after they feed their baby so it doesn't transfer so much of the chemical substances into the baby. Make sure you're obviously not smoking while you're holding your baby. Stay away from secondhand smoke. Maybe even have a cloak or something that you smoke in so the residue and stuff isn't on your body when you hold your baby. So there's a lot of education that needs to be given to moms who are smokers that plan on breastfeeding their babies.
Sounds like it could go either way at that point. You could tell the new mother that it's not good for the baby, quit, and they might say, I got to do this. Or they might be getting the baby home and they're just so nervous and upset they just feel they need that cigarette. I guess it's a personal thing that you can't generalize too much on that. When do you know it's time to stop? I mean, because obviously when they're teething, you're going to say, enough, kid. But, is it before that?
Well, it's actually a very good question. And actually, moms should continue breastfeeding even while their babies are teething. Because typically the babies do teethe. They sometimes teethe around 2 months of age. And as we talked about earlier, that's pretty early for teething. But sometimes babies do teethe 2 or 3 months of age. Their teeth start moving and they, not necessarily do the teeth pop up, but they still show the signs that they're in a little bit of discomfort. So definitely we want to be breastfeeding babies when they're 2 months of age. So like I said, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends exclusive breastfeeding the first 6 months of the infant's life, and then 6 to 12 months continue with the addition of complementary foods. And then even after that year, the benefits to both mom and baby are still very, very plentiful. And so they even say that breastfeeding should continue beyond a year as long as mutually desired by both mother and infant.
Does it have to be the mother of the child to gain the benefits? Because there are women nowadays who can give birth who have really, you know, extensive medical conditions of their own, mm-hmm. and may not be able to, you know, breastfeed after after giving birth. They may have to go back on chemo or whatever, you know, because they took a break to have the child. Is there a way that, you know, a sister or a relative, somebody could step up to the plate, so to speak, and be induced to start the lactation and supply this type of formula for the child?
Yes, Craig. Women can be induced to lactate. So even moms who have adopted their babies, they can be induced to lactate.
But you have to know you're getting to be adopting an infant, so you got a little time for your body to react. It isn't
right.
Like you go to the doctor, here's a shot, and 3 hours later, away you go. I mean,
right.
Your body has to adjust to this. This is a gradual thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would happen right away anyway. But anyway, you were talking about the adoption part. That it is possible.
Yes. So it is possible to women to have women be induced to lactate to feed their adopted babies. And breast milk really is the best food. So breast milk is species specific. It has evolved to be the perfect food for a human infant. So actually, another
add something to the cow's milk we try to use as a formula is because it's formulated for calves, it's not formulated for us.
Exactly. There really is no difference between breast milk versus, or there is a big difference, I should say, between breast milk and formula. Breast milk is species specific. So another woman's breast milk, or human milk, if you will, is best for another baby than cow's milk would be. So they do have human milk banks, and premature infants in NICUs, if for some reason their mother cannot provide milk for them, which there are very rare occasions where a mother is unable to breastfeed her milk or the baby can't consume her milk, they will go to breast banks and the babies will, I should say, breast milk banks, and they will get prescriptions for breast milk to feed sick babies. So it may not be the mother's breast milk, but if it's human breast milk, yes, it's definitely it's better than cow milk-based formulas.
So it's like a blood bank, so to speak, and I'm sure that, you know, there's an expiration on this because it's fully nutrient, it's not pasteurized or anything, so everything would have a time period just like blood that it'll be good for.
Yeah, I don't know the procedures that they check it, but and I think there is a type of pasteurization that they do, but it's, you know, probably very special, so they aren't killing off obviously the nutrients and stuff, but definitely
stuff.
Exactly. So yeah, it is in some sorts like a blood bank. So they do have those because
never heard of that before. I guess maybe it's a guy thing, but I never heard about that before. All right. And these are things, you know, that if you're having these problems, you talk to your pediatrician, you talk to support groups in the area, things like that, where they would know the resources that you can tap into.
Definitely. I work at Hiram Medical Center, and I teach the childbirth education classes. It's a series of 5 classes, and on the last class, we talk about the basics of breastfeeding, so we get mom off to a good start so she knows the basics of breastfeeding, what to look for, to make sure that her baby is latching on correctly, to make sure that the baby is getting milk, that the baby is thriving on breast milk, to get a good milk supply, so on and so forth. We have the Huron County Breastfeeding Task Force, which is a wonderful task force, and I'm not just saying that because I sit on as a member, but currently we received a grant, and we are we've put together a breastfeeding support group. It's called BFFs, breastfeeding friends, and they, Joanna is her name, Joanna Simmons. She is the head of the group, and they meet twice monthly. One meeting is held at Hear Medical Center, the other at the Sure Professional Building. And if you have any questions about that, you can log on to HuronCounty.BFFsGmail.com. So that's HuronCounty.BFFsGmail.com. And you can find out when the dates are for those for that support group. Kind of like the Liliche League that they had many years ago.
Yeah, I always heard of that one, and I always had trouble when it was in the community calendar. I didn't know how exactly to say it.
Yeah, yeah, but now they don't have the Liliche League anymore, and the grant has noticed that, or the government has noticed that we need to get more moms breastfeeding and more moms breastfeeding their infants. So we did receive this grant to start a breastfeeding support group in our area, and we have. And actually, we have a meeting coming up March 29th, and it's at Huron Medical Center. And it's at 12 p.m., from 12 p.m. to 1:30, up on the third floor in the Distance Learning Center at Huron Medical Center in Bad Axe.
Are hospitals getting on board with this? I mean, do you need to tell the hospital before you go in that, you know, I plan to breastfeed, I want the baby brought to me, so mm-hmm. the first feeding is with me, that type of thing? Do you need to make sure all this is in place before the day when your mind is on a thousand other things?
Sure. It is a good idea for moms to make it known to the hospital staff and the people who are going to be caring for her infant that she is going to breastfeed, and that she wants to strictly breastfeed, that she wants to make sure that the baby is breastfed within the first hour or close to that first hour after birth. It is, because babies come out and they have an awake period. Once the umbilical cord is cut and tied, mom has a bolus of colostrum right there, and it's good for that baby to get up to breast within the first hour, if possible, to nurse, to get some sugar in its system from the blood milk, and this will help stabilize the baby's blood sugar, because usually they drift off into a little sleepy period. So we want to make sure that they get a feeding.
Everything I ever saw, you know, about in the maternity ward was that they cried. cried. And have we gotten away from some of the things they do in the maternity ward? Do they still slap them on the bottom to get them up and awake, or do they do a little more gentle these days?
They're a little more gentle these days.
I mean, it used to look almost like, you know, vicious here, you know. Yeah, you bothered me, got me off the golf course.
Yeah.
And whack it went.
There's no spanking of the bottom anymore.
Oh, that was a nice little image in your head for a while. Okay. But they do things a lot different than mm-hmm. we think from 50s television.
Yeah, definitely.
Is it an evolving science? Are you constantly learning more about children, childbirth, and the nutritional needs and such for kids?
Oh, definitely. It's a whole, you can talk to a nurse who has worked in the OB unit for 20 years, and she can tell you so many ways how it has been different from when she first started to now. And it is, and a lot of it is based on science and research, and hopefully for bettering the health of the mother and the infant.
Well, terrific. Again, there are programs locally that people can partake in, which will give them the information they need to get a good start. And as you were kind of alluding to, don't wait until after the fact. You know, seek out the information early. Will your doctor's office maybe have some of these numbers to call? Is there a good resource to contact? I know there's you, but mm-hmm. I mean, is there some place that you know, easy on the web, Huron County Breastfeeding will get you there? I mean, I don't know how that works.
Well, moms definitely, when they are expecting, like I said, they should, you know, shop around. They can go to the pediatrician's offices. They can find out what resources they have. I know at our hospital, I'm an internationally board certified lactation consultant, so I can help the moms when they have breastfeeding problems or breastfeeding issues. I do teach the classes, so definitely they can enroll in a class. They can call the hospital, 989-269-9521, and ask for the education department, and they can ask about what childhood or child rearing courses that they have available. I had mentioned the Huron County Breastfeeding Task Force support group, the BFFs, a community support group made up of moms, and a core contact mom, Joanna Simmons. She is the leader. She sits on, as a member, on the Huron County Breastfeeding Task Force. So she is definitely going to be a good support mom out there in the community for mothers as we get this support group up and running. So there are a lot of ways that a mom can seek out help if she finds herself at home and, you know, having problems with the baby latching on, or she thinks that her milk supply is low, or she can always call an area hospital, ask for the lactation specialist. You know, just don't think that I don't want moms to think that there's not help out there, because there is. You just, you know, have to seek it out. And
because I would imagine, you know, even beyond all of this, there are issues that you need to be instructed on hygiene, because you don't want to get infected yourself or to pass that on to the baby through the process. I mean, all of this stuff is, you know, is things that you need to know, and like I say, it doesn't come with a manual when you get the child. You mm-hmm. gotta kind of learn mm-hmm. it beforehand and be ready.
Right.
To hit the ground running.
Right.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking time with us today. We've got Dr. Haller coming in tomorrow.
Yes.
Still seats available, as I understand, so mm-hmm. they can contact the Huron County Parenting Awareness Month. They're on the internet. They can go there and they can get information on his talk and register and all the other things that are going to be going on. This whole month is trying to get the word out, and hopefully we've gotten a little word out, and hopefully we've helped people who come across this you know, kind of bristle up the back and, you know, what's going on here. It's a natural, normal thing. It's going to be happening more and more because people are going back to the more natural way of doing things.
Right.
And proven in the long term, that is the best way to go anyway.
Right. We are looking at breastfeeding as more of a public health issue as opposed to just a lifestyle, you know, a chosen lifestyle, because of the benefits for both mother and baby, short term and long term. So,
and we were talking a little bit before the show, and the mother's body even can trigger when it doesn't need to do it anymore, because as the child's demand weans, so does her need to create.
Yeah, when a mother, you know, some people will ask, well, can you breastfeed more than one baby at a time? Well, you certainly can. In fact, we encourage it. It's called tandem nursing when you breastfeed maybe a two-year-old and a two-month-old. Moms definitely have successfully breastfed twins. But it is interesting to note that when a mom becomes pregnant, her milk does taste different. It takes on a salty taste. So sometimes the babies will start to self-wean themselves when they get a taste of the salty breast milk. So sometimes moms don't even have to worry about having the baby self-wean. The baby might wean on its own.
Or the child
wean on its own in time for the next baby, I should say.
Or it'll just be a typical American who loves the salty fast foods, and away they go.
There you go.
Again, thanks for being with us. Any questions, they can contact you at the hospital and
they
get
sure
more
can.
Information. All they have to do is ask about, you know, breastfeeding information. I'm sure the hospital switchboard will send them right to you. Our guest today on the program has been from the Huron Medical Center, registered nurse Jennifer Kubatsky. And again, there is information out there. There's groups out there. There's all types of support. And you don't need to wait until after the child is here. You should get all this information up front so that it makes it a smooth transition for mother and baby when everything, hopefully, wonderfully, and successfully comes to pass at the hospital.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you stopping out. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news. Keep it here at WLEW.